This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2070. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded January 21st, Albania, Ascension, Brazil, Canada, Chile, Cuba, Egypt, Eritrea, France, Germany, India, Korea South, Kurdistan, Kuwait, Madagascar, Myanmar, New Zealand, Peru, Scotland, Solomon Islands, Spain, UK, USA, Vanuatu, Venezuela, Zambia, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. On Thursday, January 14th at 23 UT, I ran across a very strong signal from Radio Tirana, Albania, in English, on 5850, of course, via WRMI. Trouble is, on the WRMI schedule grid, that half hour is blank for System H. But judging from the mailbag program they were airing, other listeners have also been hearing this transmission. However, 2 days later, on Saturday, I found that 5850 was not even on the air. So I'm not sure what the situation is. Radio Tirana English programs are supposedly produced 6 days a week except on Sundays. There's also another broadcast just before that, which I have been hearing on various days of the week, but I think not every day, 7780, with Tirana at 2230. Filed under Ascension Island transmitter site, all this via Wolfgang Büschel. Rudolf Grimm in Brazil was hearing a Christian program in Arabic after 1730 UT on 17745, believed to be from Transworld Radio. So he wrote to TWR, but they denied knowing anything about this broadcast. But Dave Porter in England, who's much better informed about Encompass operations, says it is a new TWR Arabic transmission, but Monday through Friday, starting January 1st, via Ascension for Sudan. January 18th at 22:30, I had an off-frequency signal above 9630, measured at 0.324, presumably Radio Aparecida, Brazil. This used to be a regular catch, notable by its offset frequency, but the last time I had logged it was February 7th last year, although Manuel Menez in Spain reported it in August, but I've found no report since. So apparently that frequency was reactivated. Meanwhile, they've been mostly active around 6135, but not heard either on 11856 or 5035. Via Eric Flodane, the blog.fagstein.com, which is about radio in Montreal and elsewhere in Canada, had an item January 14th titled, "Is There a Point to Radio Canada International Anymore?" You might want to look it up. It deals with the further cutbacks we've already reported to what's left of RCI, and whether it should continue in any form. The blogger says, "It's time the federal government stepped in and decided what it wants to do with RCI. Wojtek Vazda thinks it should be separated from the CBC and run as its own separately funded service. CBC seems to want to turn RCI into an add-on third language service providing some news to ethnic Canadians." Part of the reply by Wojtek Vazda, "It's like a car whose tires have been deflated, the doors torn off, and then being told it's no good anymore. But we at the RCI Action Committee suggest that RCI can be rebuilt. It will take a leap of faith. We think those tires can be inflated and replacement doors found." Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in Brazil reports on 6925 what is presumably that Chilean pirate RCW or Radio Compañía Worldwide. January 4th at 2347 to 2356 with some music, and January 13th from 2303 to 2307 in Spanish. Very poor with ham interference. At least one Radio Havana Cuba transmitter has been knocked way off frequency minus and has shown up as such on several frequencies the past week, such as January 15th at 1556, about 13699.9, just before it went off, before I could measure it. But then January 16th at 0227, 9699.879, and at 1541 on 13699.812. Ivo Ivanov, Bulgaria, also heard some of these, and another one, 6099.86, between 12 and 14 UT. Also on January 16th, Wolfgang Büschel in Germany found the African service of RHC at 2146 on 11879.834. And January 21st at 1445, I had it on 13739.796. Meanwhile, the other RHC transmitter on the same band managed to stay close to 13700, but also puts out spur blobs some days and not other days. On this day, it was at least four of them, at plus and minus multiples of 69 or 70 kilohertz. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria used to report the Mystery Egyptian Music Station quite a bit, but not for a long time until now. January 19th, at 0815 to 0820 on 9550. This was preceded and followed by several minutes of a 1 kHz test tone. We don't know for sure if it's really from Egypt, where the shortwave transmitters of Radio Cairo have been mostly inactive. On January 18th at 1519, I had just barely audible carriers amid ham interference on 7140 and 7180. Fittingly, for the two Voice of the Broad Masses of Eritrea reactivated intruders. And at this hour, it would be by long path. By the way, Wolfgang Büschel measured them a couple of weeks before, exactly 21 hertz on the plus side each. Ron Howard in California replies on the same date. He was hearing 7140 at the same time via Gray Line reception. Ivo Ivanov reports an additional frequency for those DRM tests from Radio France International at 13 to 1330 UT, first on 11705, but it soon changed to 11735. Supposedly, these tests may run until February 28th. Alan Rowe in the UK reports, Germany, Channel 292, are marking their 10 years on the air Monday 1 February with a full day of hosted programs from existing Channel 292 providers across all three frequencies, 3955, 6070, and 9670, between midnight and 23 UT. See their website for scheduled details, www.channel292.de. He says the schedule is slightly confusing. Ignore the Monday to Sunday column headings and refer instead to the frequency column headings. NDX India, Alokesh Gupta reported January 14th, All India Radio's external service to be back on shortwave, with effect from 15 January, trial transmissions of external service on three platforms, shortwave, DTH, direct-to-home satellite, and live streaming. External services were suspended due to COVID pandemic from 24 March 2020. There will be four services, two neighborhood services, NS1 and 2, and two world services, WS1 and 2, round the clock in different languages. Regular transmissions will commence from 26 January, and the projected schedules are provided. However, notably missing from them are any broadcasts in English. Ivo Ivanov monitored many of the test transmissions, and in fact, on January 15th, there was an hour in English at 05 to 06 on 15030 instead of scheduled Arabic. Some of these frequencies were offset minus like 0.8, such as 15029.8 in Burmese at 2:45. It all seems to be quite flexible and confusing. On January 19th, he heard English on 17830 between 0832 and 0900. On January 20th, Joe's Jacob of DX India says external services were reorganized last week with new times and frequencies. Check his own website at qsl.net/VU2JOS. Stephen Luce in Texas replies, note that All India Radio is down to only three transmitters for its international service. How many shortwave units have been decommissioned over the last sesquiyear, including domestic transmitters? It must be over three dozen. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard, with his weekly report on observed frequencies of the clandestines from South to North Korea, as Monday, January 18th. VOP, another week with no changes, but in case you don't remember where they were, here they are, 3480 with best reception, 3910, 3930, 4450, 6520, 6600, checked at 09UT, while the other one, VOH, changed all its frequencies once again to 3990, 4885, 6000, 6250, 6355, 9100 at 0905, some of them with interference. On January 15th, Ivo Ivanov reports an updated schedule for Denge Welat, the clandestine for Kurdistanish Turkey. At 0330 to 06 UT 7350 via France, 06 to 13 11540 via Pridnestrovia, 13 to 15 also 11540 via Pridnestrovia, but a slightly different azimuth. 15 to 16 still 11540, but back to France, and 16 to 22 on 9525 via France. Furthermore, between 06 and 13, when on 11540, there are two symmetrical spurs, plus and minus about 50 kHz, 11490 and 11590. And on January 18th, after 15 UT, I was getting co-channel interference on 11540 between Denge Welat and presumably the Turkish jammer with some music. Both are now on that frequency instead of former 11530. So noted by Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight, who says to avoid this, Denge Welat should switch between 11530 and 11540 when they become aware of the jamming. January 20th at 0153, I had a carrier on 1548 kHz medium wave. It really stood out as there was nothing else at 9 kHz steps on the top part of the band. There are two 500 kilowatt stations there, Radio Sabah in Kuwait, which is 24 hours, and TWR via Pridnestrovia. But it's only scheduled for 2 hours at 1930, according to WRTH. So I'm pretty sure I must have been here in Kuwait, what's left of the once great VOA Arabic service. Ron Hearn in California reports on Madagascar. Radio Madagascara, January 14th. Tune in at 1450 on 5009.95 and parallel 6135, which was underneath CRI. But 6135 cut off at 1501, while 5009.95 continued with improving receptions via Long Path and Gray Line. And about Myanmar, Ron Howard reports, Tazin Radio seems to be at full power now on 7345, mixing with CNR1, January 18th at 1127. Radio New Zealand Pacific keeps changing its frequency usage late in the North American night. The lower the better for us, but it's not for us. January 14th, Ivo Ivanov said, 13730 replaces 11725 between 06 and 08, the times rounded off, while at 08 to 10, it's still on 11725, Monday through Friday. Last week's item about active Peruvian shortwave was not complete. There is at least one more, as reported by Johnny Serra in Italy. Radio Tarma, 4775.04, heard January 12th at 0149 until off at 0203 after a musical program. He was comparing it to their web streaming, which also ended at that time. I can sometimes hear a JBA carrier just above 4775. And more reports of Radio Tawantinsuyo in Cusco, Peru, on 6174, from Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in Brazil, January 5th at 2343 to 2352, alternating Spanish and Quechua, and also January 7th at 2353 to midnight 4. On January 16th, I ran across a new airing of the classical program Encore from Scotland via WRMI. Between 23 and midnight UT on 7570. A very good signal here, aimed right at us, northwestward from Florida. And in fact, it is now on the WRMI sked grid, so maybe it's there to stay. Certainly nice to hear something on 7570 besides Tombs, which means the Overcomer Ministry Brother Scare. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2070. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for generous financial support from someone who says my usual anonymous seasonal donation to your always informative broadcast. A contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute by money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENIDOK 73702. To Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENIDOK 73702. Solomon Islands not reported lately. I wonder if they've been active, but here's one from Wolfgang Büschel using a remote in New Zealand. 5020, January 17th, heard at 10:30 during their 05 to 12 UT broadcast. Barry Hartley in New Zealand replies. He's also hearing 9545 around 0300 with a good signal. Some of Spain's shortwave frequencies had been missing for a week or more, notably the North American one, 9690. But it was back on the air January 18th at 2235 in Castilian and presumably English after 2300 on a Monday. But the other three frequencies were still not to be heard. M. Elliott reports January 16th, BBC World Service asking for comments about shortwave reception. A tweet from Abdallah S., strategy analyst at BBC World Service. Are you able to hear BBC programmes in English on shortwave radio clearly? If not, was it because of interference from another signal or mechanical noise? Please write us at worldservice.letters@bbc.co.uk and let us know. Then Mark Fahey replied, okay, a few DXers respond and retweet, but zero non-hobby listeners comment? This is just like when Radio Australia had a short break from shortwave for technical maintenance, a smart way for BBC to measure listenership on shortwave. Abdallah replies to that, this is not trying to measure the BBC shortwave audience, as Kim knows there are much better ways of doing that. The aim is to gather reports on reception, including any jamming. DXers are a good group to help with that. And Kai Ludwig replies to us, there are good reasons for wanting to make sure there really is jamming before stating it as fact. When BBC Korean launched, there was a big hype about alleged jamming, which, however, could not be confirmed. Monitoring instead revealed, among other cases, there was one out-of-band frequency chosen for use from Uzbekistan, which was already occupied by military communications. Screaming jamming when there is none could be quite counterproductive. But it would not be a first if China now really jams BBC English. They already did so for some months in 2013, also affecting VOA and All India Radio. A non-expert listener will have no chance to tell that the reception is sabotaged and not just poor. There is no chance for the request by Abdallah to yield any usable replies other than raising the suspicion that transmissions in question could be terminated as quickly as Hindi and Urdu a year ago, just months after being temporarily boosted due to the Kashmir situation. Lots of fast-breaking developments concerning VOA and USAGM. Note that I am recording this one day after inauguration. Back on January 15th, Michael Pack wrote an opinion piece for the Wall Street Journal. VOA aired a news report in Pakistan that was no more than a repackaged Biden campaign ad. That is, trying to justify his shakeup at VOA and USAGM. Thanks to David Cole for sending that one on. The Washington Post had a story January 14th by Paul Fari, the media reporter. VOA journalists demand resignation of news agency's top leadership. It begins, simmering tensions between journalists and managers at VOA grew into open rebellion, with more than two dozen newsroom employees signing a petition demanding the immediate resignation of their new director and his top deputy. VOA staff said Robert Riley and Elizabeth Robbins had abdicated their responsibility to remain independent of government influence by ordering the global broadcaster to air a speech that Secretary of State Pompeo delivered at its Washington headquarters, a propaganda event, as they called it. The letter also criticized Riley and Robbins for disciplining a reporter for seeking to question Pompeo afterward. Thanks to Mike Cooper for that one and the next one, which was January 19th. From the Post, VOA overseer spent $2 million investigating employees, complaint alleges. The head of VOA's parent agency hired a law firm at a rate of about $500 an hour and spent $2 million in taxpayer funds to compile personnel dossiers on managers he had targeted for removal. The accusation, contained in a whistleblower complaint, is the latest claim of impropriety against Michael Pack, a Trump appointee who has sought to reshape VOA and other international news networks since becoming their overseer in June. He has generated controversy by removing veteran managers, accusing VOA of harboring foreign spies, and seeking to influence VOA news coverage. In addition, the D.C. Attorney General sued Pack earlier this month, alleging he had enriched himself by funneling more than $4 million to the private filmmaking company he formerly ran through a non-profit entity he also controlled. Ron Trotto forwards an NBC News story January 20th, soon after President Biden was inaugurated. Controversial Trump appointee overseeing VOA resigns at Biden's request. It's by Dan DeLuce. At the request of the Biden administration, he resigned after a tumultuous tenure marked by accusations he was undermining the network's editorial independence. Michael Peck, CEO of USAGM, said it was effective at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And another story about this, January 20th, from Matthew Lee of the Associated Press via Mike Cooper, headline, Trump Global Broadcasting Chief Quits Amid VOA Staff Revolt. January 21st, Kai Ludwig in Germany took a look at the websites of the White House and the VOA and found some contradictory information. InsideVOA.com leads us to believe that Riley is still in office, while InsideVOA.com says that Kelu Chow is acting VOA director. She's originally from Taiwan, K-E-L-U-C-H-A-O, but her portrait still appears under her previous job as VOA program director since 2015. But the White House briefing room website lists her among many new hires or new appointees as acting CEO of USAGM. And to which John Filiozzi replies, as of 2009 UT, January 21st, Riley has been relieved. Yolanda Lopez has been named acting head of VOA. World of Radio Scheduling on WRMI. New broadcast confirmed Saturday at 22:30 UT on 9955. And it's been on the schedule for a while, but now confirmed Wednesday at 10:30 UT on 5850. Aimed northwest across North America, but it should reach much further into East Asia and the Pacific. I wonder how reception is there. On the other hand, the UT Tuesday 0330 broadcast on 5800 has now been replaced not only on the air but on the schedule by Freedom Synergy Radio 6 nights a week, also bumping off all the other programming during that hour. However, WRMI was totally off the air UT January 19th due to a power failure between 0115 UT and 0739. Especially of interest on the American Experience series on PBS television, also available to view online, The Codebreaker, Wife, Mother, Secret American Hero. The Woman Who Smashed Codes, a true story of love, spies, and the unlikely heroine who outwitted America's enemies. The Codebreaker, the fascinating story of Elizabeth Smith Friedman, the groundbreaking cryptanalyst whose painstaking work to decode thousands of messages for the U.S. government would send infamous gangsters to prison in the 1930s and bring down a massive, near-invisible Nazi spy ring in World War II. By the way, her name Elizabeth is spelled with an E in the middle. Via IRCADX Monitor, a story health officials employ pop-up radio transmitters and portable signs at vaccine and food dispensing sites, such as 1620 AM in Adams County, Illinois. So keep an ear especially on the X-band for these. The company providing these is called Information Station Specialists. Via the KGOU newsletter, a pandemic casualty, the Capitol Steps. Amid all the losses suffered during the coronavirus pandemic, you can now add the Capitol Steps. The musical comedy troupe has announced plans to shut down permanently after not being able to stage live performances for more than a year. For now, their website is still up, www.capsteps.com, and they're able to sell you a CD. KGOU has aired Capitol Steps specials for decades, and we've hosted their performances in Oklahoma City over the past few years. We wish them all well as they look to the future. Speaking of the real Capitol Steps, spotting some of those terrorists with two-way radios has led to quite some discussion, such as ARRL on the purpose of amateur radio. Bill Harrison sends this. Amateur radio's long history and service to the public has solidified the well-earned reputation that amateur radio saves lives. Misuse is inconsistent with its history of service and its statutory charter. AP story, mix of extremists who stormed Capitol isn't retreating, mentions in the middle of it, as those groups continue to train and expand, many already offer instruction in weapons, first aid, food storage, and ham radios. Well, of course, as many have pointed out, we can't be sure amateur radio was actually involved, as there are other types of two-way radios easily available and unlicensed. Mike Gorniak, November Mike 7 X-Ray, says, I've noticed more and more politics polluting the ham bands in recent years. I reluctantly but definitely gave up on a group of radio friends a few years ago. We had been chatting weekly for 25 years. Politics and religion never got in our way, but something happened a few years back that turned some participants into carbon copies of their favorite talk show hosts. I recently tuned in and heard mostly angry old men. Whiskey India 2 Golf says the 75-meter band is a cesspool. And finally, Clara Lissenspreken forwards an FCC enforcement advisory dated January 17th, warning amateur and personal radio services licensees and operators may not use radio equipment to commit or facilitate criminal acts. Dating Radio Vanuatu Monitoring on Fundamentals and Harmonics from Ron Howard, January 16th. Tune in 3945 at 11:04 with programming running late. Sermon and religious song cut off at 11:14 in mid-song. No closing ID or anthem. The same cutoff time on the 13th, so most likely it closes via a timer. The harmonics 11835 and 7890 were not heard. But later at 11:52, something else was on 3945, Echo of Unification for North Korea. With a good signal of their test tone, until 11:54 open carrier, chimes interval signal from 11:59, scheduled to run until about 14:01. January 21st, Ron Howard was hearing all three frequencies, 3945, the second and third harmonics, 7890 and 11835, from 10:34 until off at 11:14:30. Sio Otavio Bobrovich in Brazil was also hearing 3945 and 11835, before or after 08 UT on January 14th, 15th, and 16th. Via the Bonaire remote, I've been hearing the new frequency for ROCV Venezuela, just a few hertz above 6200, such as January 18th at 0233. Its power is 50 watts, according to a post from their engineer Gregorio Quina on the Cadena X FB group. Wait until I see a YV call sign applied to this or other official info, I'm going to assume it's a pirate. And Howard reports that Radio 1 ZNBC Zambia has reverted to their original frequency, 5915, heard January 17th, from 0340 to 0505, after a while on 5995, where it clashed with Mali. There was vernacular at 0400 call of the African fish eagle. In early May last year, Manuel Mendeth had first noted the original switch from 5915 to 5995. We're in deep North America. I hear hardly anything between 1.7 and 3 megahertz. But in Pennsylvania, Don Moore has strung up some beverage antennas and reports lots of signals, mostly maritime, from Greenland and all over Europe. Details in the Mayor tip sheet and also quoted in the WOR IO group. You may also read extensive logs in this area from Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal. Propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder issued January 18th. Geomagnetic field expected to reach unsettled levels February 1st, 2nd, 7th, and 8th, with A and Canises peaking at 10 and 4. Otherwise quiet, 8 and 3 or 5 and 2. Solar flux dipping to 75 between January 29th and February 3rd, and slightly higher before and after then, up to 77. And that's World of Radio, 2070. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.